For us, the main challenge continues to be the fact that people are being held in not just prolonged detention, but indefinite detention, which makes them completely without hope at the moment. There is no knowledge of when this detention, or as they perceive it, a punishment, is going to come to an end. This brings with it a number of complications for them, starting from the physical safety and security of the refugees themselves, the number of crimes reported against them, particularly of the sexual and gender-based violence against women and children, including boys, and the fact that there has been almost total impunity for any of these crimes. Adding to that complication is the fact that, as has been repeatedly said, prolonged detention brings with it a negative impact on mental health of individuals. We found that everything that we have reported on and raised as an issue of concern in our missions in the previous years still continues.
What cases of abuse have you heard about?
We have a number of cases of women who were raped, who have been unable to report this and go to the police for fear of reprisals. We have a number of cases of men who have been beaten up or have been robbed. We have a number of cases of children who have been assaulted, either physically assaulted, sexually assaulted, or threatened. Their mental condition being such, my team found that almost more than 90%, or almost the entire population, is either on antidepressants or on medication to help them to just make it through the day. Clearly, an untenable situation. Very shocking, very appalling, especially given in light of the fact that it is easily avoidable to look for an alternate human rights-based approach to the situation.
And what other recommendations has the Office for Human Rights made to the government of Nauru?
We've given them a long list of recommendations, which includes something as simple as making sure that people with urgent medical needs are provided that urgent medical need, even if it needs evacuation to Australia, that must be a priority. Families that need support must be provided the support. Access to education is a fundamental human right and must be provided. Children in the refugee camps or the detention centres, or now living within the community, all of them have not been able to go to schools. The vast majority are just at home. There has been one of the most alarming statistics on amount of self-harm done by children as young as six in this situation.
Would you encourage the government to allow other human rights organisations to be allowed to visit?
I think that would be a very welcome change. We would not only request the governments and encourage them to allow human rights organizations to be allowed to visit, but we think it should be much more open and many more efforts to ensure that the appropriate healthcare and related professionals who are required be allowed to access these people, to access the centers, to access the community, and to be allowed to speak up. This should be a topic on everybody's table for discussion.
And do you call on the Australian government to stop the offshore processing?
The Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights has been consistent in this, and the regional office stands by that position.
Are you concerned that other member states may use the same type of offshore processing elsewhere?
I think that unfortunately it is a possibility. As we all know, it's been in the media that there was a delegation from the Danish Parliament, and some of them used the word inspiration. And the fact is that the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights has been concerned about the issue of the treatment of asylum seekers and migrants throughout the globe. And we have been finding similar challenges cropping up in other issues. So therefore, it does continue to be a concern. It's not something we could just put aside saying that it's not possible, no other government will take inspiration from it. We remain concerned. We believe that the government of Australia has had a commendable human rights performance record in the past, and this is an unfortunate incident which is doing a lot of damage to the reputation of the state, and we believe that there is an opportunity to rectify that and to stand as a model in the region to show that even if something has been done that violated certain international obligations of the state, the state has the courage to rectify it.